Welcome. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Okay.
We shall begin our show now.
Okay.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by We Are Storically, Conscious Brand Apparel.
And welcome to another episode of Creatives Chat. Hi, I'm Rusty.
I'm Peter.
And today, Peter, who have we got on our show?
Oh man, we have one of my favorite beings who I got a chance to meet while MLB and myself were on tour in Hawaii. He's a yogi, he's a realtor, he's an overall just awesome and wise human being. Tom.
Tom, and he's in Hawaii?
Oh yeah, Honolulu, baby.
Oh, you're bringing me back. You're making me homesick. I love that part of the world. All right, let's get Tom over here and I'll take his place in Hawaii.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, the painting's up. Yes.
People love it. It's good for Zooms because then people don't have to look at me the whole time. They can kind of look at that. And then I don't have the luxurious hair like you do, Peter. I like that book. Looking snazzy. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing good, yo. It's just been staying busy. Just really pushing the, I guess you could say, the more spiritual meditation stuff to as many people as we can right now.
Nice. The bulls still singing?
Always. Always.
Like, are they? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, they cut down my class, but it's going well. The one class I kept on Mondays is pretty busy, so it's like just open back up and we're slowly getting back to things. So it's interesting.
You're a creator on so many different levels. Like, not only are you deem yourself like a fitness enthusiast, but you're like a full-blown yogi. Like, mental fortitude on you compared to most people I've met, man. It's like, it's next level, especially when you think about like the bodybuilding aspect, which is something that we're going to have to touch on this conversation.
Bodybuilding was like a hard 8 years that I did it, you know what I mean? But it's like taught me a lot. You got to push through it. And like the dieting on that level while you're working out that hard, and just like the recovery you got to keep up. Like, you know, it was a full-time job to try to do it and do it competitively, but it taught me a lot. It just definitely taught me some grit. But it's like at the same time, I guess what yoga taught me was to be okay with everything. So maybe I wouldn't need to prove a point like that and do all that crazy stuff to my body, right? Like had I got into the yoga beforehand, you know what I mean? I don't know how much I would have went with the bodybuilding at all, just because my body's gotten kind of beat up from it. But same as the gymnastics and everything else that I did in the past, you know, it's like I wanted to be a badass, and you can be a badass, but you're gonna feel it later, right? We only have one body, and you gotta take care of it as much as you can. But like, stuff starts to wear out, you know, we're getting old. It's just the way it goes. Yeah, I think it's like a Hawaii thing, man. Like, it's been here for so long, and you just gotta grind and like try to make it happen. You know, it's super expensive, and I've been on my own the whole time, so that's probably just why I work so hard. You know, ever since college, it's like I had to. But now I'm getting old. 12 years almost I've lived here, so now it's like, well, my dad's got the saying, "Shit or get off the pot." You know, it's like make it happen and start making like a real life out there. You know, not just this post college like bachelor whatever thing I'm doing. You know what I mean? I try not to put too much like pressure on myself, you know, to be any specific thing, but it's like, you kind of do got to strive to be good. You know what I mean? With that age where it's like, it's like it's time to make stuff happen. I feel like I work, you know, really hard and I do it, but I need to make more time for, you know, trying to like date people and all this other stuff.
I love it. Well, I guess one question I'm curious about, when did you make the transition from like the bodybuilding to more of like the yoga and the yogi path?
So I'd say because of my gymnastics background, I had kind of a affinity towards stretching. And whenever I first got into yoga, it was maybe like 10 years ago. Yeah, because I lived here for a couple of years, but I didn't know the difference between yoga and Pilates, to be honest. You know what I mean? I was this really experienced fitness trainer the top people that went out, and I was a gymnast, so like I taught people how to do all sorts of stuff, and like yoga was like that extra, you know, like even CrossFit. I was like, oh, you don't need CrossFit, you know, like everyone thinks young me, it's like you just need what I got, you know. It's like that's how a lot of trainers function, is like you just need what this guy has, you know what I mean? You don't listen to any of that other stuff. But like as I've gotten older, I've learned that like pretty much everybody's stuff that like they're educated will work and it'll be great. It's just, all right, is it good for you and can you stick to it? You know what I mean? You'll get the results. But yeah, basically a friend of mine, friend of a friend, you know, was really attractive and she was a yoga teacher. And she started having classes at the same studio I teach at now. And I went down there and basically started taking her class a bunch. I was kicking my ass. And then eventually I wasn't going anymore because like simply I thought she was cute and hot and I wanted to support her. I started going because I liked the class. And then right after her class was one of the master teachers and she was also really attractive, right? And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, so I'll be perfect on it. What got me motivated to like check out classes often is probably the attractive teacher, but it's like, I'm not, you know, it's just like, I'm meeting attractive, driven, you know, spiritually minded women. It's like, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel going more for that, but that's what got me my start was like little crushes, you know? And then basically I do the one class straight into the other class, cause they were back to back and, either one of the teachers looked at me more than a friend, you know? So it's like, they, you know what I mean? Even if I was like kind of crushing on them, they it was never like that with them. It's good because like you can't do that as a teacher, but basically they would call me crazy because I'd do one teacher's class and then we cool down or whatever, finish. And then I'd stay and go right into the next teacher's class. And I'm like, dude's nuts. And then I became like the nuts guy at that studio. I started taking all the teacher's classes and like everybody knew me, but I was kind of like just a junkie that liked to do it there. Hey, my cardio, I have bad ankles. I've had flat feet since I was born and then the gymnastics, everything. So my ankles are pretty shot. So basically I don't like to run. I can't do heavy impact. So I'll do hiking or walk slowly here. You know, we have the waters, we can swim and stuff like that. But I found I like yoga the best because you get resistance training, you get cardio, you get stretching, you get recovery all in the same hour. And that's what I something like really effective in an hour, because before I used to go to the gym and lift for 2 hours with my trainer, right? But then later at home, I'd have to do an hour of foam rolling and 30 minutes of stretching. It's like that is 3.5 hours like of physical activity. And I did more than that some days. That's how much time I was dedicating to the physical realm. Mm-hmm. But like, who can do that? You, nobody can do that for forever. It's like, you know what I mean? You can like, gotta work, you gotta make money. Like, doesn't matter how awesome you are physically, if you go completely broke, you're screwed. So it's like, you gotta have a balance, right? I love yoga mainly because like the amount of effectiveness and you can get in 1 hour, the amount of results you can get in 1 hour is pretty amazing. But everybody has different goals and should, and they have different stuff that they need. So I believe in most aspects of physical wellness and fitness. The coolest part was when I did my yoga teacher trainings, this is 10 years later, that's when I started to get into education and everything else. Like I didn't do that much, but I was just there for the physical sweat. I get my ass kicked. I like to stretch a lot. And then that, you know, after a super hard class, when you finally hit Shavasana, your brain's clear because you're just exhausted, right? And I was like, this is nice. This is stillness. What is this thing? You know? And this is like 8 years ago. I remember when I first found my third eye, that class. And I was like, this is like 8 years ago. And I was like, that's cool. So then like, I started trying to meditate a little bit here and there, but my mind, I was very type A, go, 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 studying pre-med, you know, working full time, trying to bodybuild. Once I got into teacher training, we had to like engage in the meditation part and learn way more about it.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of given me, a lot of strength in comparison to my younger self, you know, and just the meditation is huge, right? And you just relax more and it's better all around, yeah.
Being present and really turning off. Well, I think that's the funny thing is that you're the connection from like the physical focus to like the spiritual internal focus, and then you find that harmony, like what you really actually dedicate the time to both ends. And I feel like that's one of the things that's like incredibly lacking in our society, where everyone's like very, I get, you said it like type A, but very just like go, 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 go. It's like we have such an intense society of like contraction and action that we never have a full release.
Yeah, that's like, I even found that I used to drive my car to work and I'd be squeezing the steering wheel. And then like one day I was like, oh, and like all the muscles in my whole arm were engaged fully and I'm squeezing, like that's so much energy just wasted. It's like I wasn't even, but the reason I couldn't think to relax, or the reason it was clenched and I didn't realize it was clenched, was because my mind's going so much, like my mind wouldn't stop. Because my mind wouldn't stop, I couldn't even notice that my arm was clenched and tight and gripping that wheel really hard unnecessarily, you know, using all this unnecessary energy. And I think that's one thing I've really focused on over the last couple of years. Also a teaching of yoga is managing your energy levels, and that's with self, but also with other people, and just knowing how much you can take, how much you can absorb, especially like you and me, because we like people, right? We like communicating. Like that's like my best thing for me is like, you know, taking somebody from here to here and like helping be that bridge, you know, taking them from darkness to light, you know, out of the shadows. So it's like, and I know you like to do that, but at the same time, there's a lot of energy drainers out there, and you gotta be free of that, and you can give so much of yourself. So even if you are only dealing with awesome people, but if you're just going, giving, and never back to you, eventually you're gonna burn out. You know, you gotta recharge your batteries. And I think the most effective way to recharge your battery and let your cells detox and everything else, like people don't understand that they do harmonize together because they are directly related. So like once you do relax the mind, it's spiritual, but like the physical health benefits that come from that are like astronomical, you know, like your body starts creating hormones and other things that are so good for you, or like your body needs when you can slow it down just for a second. Conversely, if you're always in fight or flight mode, right? A lot of people are every day, and you drink a shit ton of coffee, Starbucks, and $8 on a quad venti mocha double stack, whatever, you know what I mean? their heart's beating 4,000 seconds, you know what I mean? It's just like that's a little hamster on a wheel. Like I never want to be like that. And it's like I also don't want to be in a cage meditating all day, you know. I could do that, but like, you know, so the challenge today is, I think, for the thought leaders and, you know, spiritual people in the world, it's like, you know, we got to be able to basically live in the moment as much as we can, be here, right? Because when you can keep your cool and everything collected and you're that person in the midst of chaos, that's something that's like truly, you know, like sets you apart. Whereas like anybody can be chill if they're in a cave by themselves all day, you know what I mean? Or you can learn it eventually, right? But like most people wouldn't do that, they'd go mad. And it's like, but like that'd be kind of great for, you know, me or you would be like, I'd love that shit, you know? You know how people get? It's like, I'd be up there for a week, I'd be chilling. Like, I know I don't need to do that. You know what I mean? My calling's here to help the other people kind of get towards that or something like that. But similarly, it's like with being positive, you know, and like talking about like motivation and inspiration, it's like you got to make an effort to, you know, to be positive on a daily basis. And it's like, it's really easy to be positive when everything in your life's going right. When everything's lined up, like you're in a great relationship, your job's doing well, your promotion, you know, the dog had a bath, the car's washed, like stuff's going well, awesome. Like you're happy, you're super positive, you're bubbly, you're lifting people up. But then one little wrench comes into play and you lose all that. Now you're this big, negative, nasty person. It's like, well, now you're a roller coaster. And the problem with that roller coaster is to the person, this, you know, that letting their emotions do that to them, that's exhausting, right? So they're just working against themselves, right? So they need to learn, relax and just take stuff. But that's another yoga teaching, is letting go of all the expectations and attachments you have things. So it's like, set out on a daily basis, know what you got to do, be committed to it, right? So you're committed to the outcome, but you're unattached to the immediate result. Right. So it's like, because some days you're going to get punched in the nose. Like life is going to wake up and be like, headbutt, bitch.
way, you know, some days. And it's like, some days it's a big scale thing, like coronavirus, big headbutt, you know what I mean? Affected everybody. Other times it's like, here's a tiny cut on your toe that's going to get a fungal infection randomly. And you're going to be in a ton of freaking pain. It's going to be hard to sleep and stuff and like walk for a bit, you know? Oh, wow. Right. Get back to work and working on your feet. Like, you know, but shit, you know, shit happens and you live and you learn, you got to roll with it. And it's like, you can dwell on the negative and you know what I mean? And the only reason I know this is like, I've had to put it into play so many times in my own life. You know what I mean? Right? I'm like, I'm a passionate person. I get like, I really loved how passionate and positive I was. And I was like, yo, you've never seen the other part. Like, you know, it's like, cause they would see this, you know what I mean? But if it wasn't this time, this Tom, and I was in like very little of this Tom. Now I try to find a lot more right here, you know, because that's healthy energy wise too, you know. And then who doesn't like a person that can just keep their cool, keep their composure? Somebody that's like too excited, right? Which I kind of was before. You got to know that they got to come down at some point, and I did. And now I try not to do that. And I'm really grateful that I found to help me combat that, because now I don't have to work out like a maniac like Arnold Schwarzenegger to get that mental release. I create it just by sitting here, you know.
That's such an interesting way to put it. I never thought about it like that, in terms of, because I totally get it, in terms of just like getting the physical pump and then having that same type of just mental chatter just kind of dissipate. But I think that's something that's always really fascinating, that like the one thing that I see is when you shift yourself towards, you know, you were like a physical self mastery, you know, from gymnastics, you know, from bodybuilding, like even the dabbling in the yoga. And then when you transition into like the, as I see it, the spiritual or the intangible, just the internal stuff that you can't pluck out of your head, right? Like once you find the balance between that and like you fully dive in those waters, it's really cool to see like when you come back, you're able to actually have that separation and have that ability to observe and see. And that's what I really see as the true necessary thing. Cause I get it the same way, man. Like people say and see like, oh yeah, you're so positive. This is this. It's like, you never knew like depressed Peter. Like, you know what I mean? Like Peter that like went through like the physical grinds, got injured, like screwed himself over with self-sabotage. And like, it's the mental grind that really is like, I see it as the stuff that gives us the true fortitude to get through like what you're going through and like what everyone's going through right now in terms of the lockdown, and doing it with a smile. Cause like so many people, man, like I think that's the one thing that I call it softness, but there's just a lot of like mental and emotional weakness that's going on right now because they've never had that opportunity to really like push themselves or experience what, you know, the meditation can truly bring.
And I know too, like younger women, like, you know, they're like friends of mine and stuff. They're like moving from here back to the mainland or something, or moving. I've seen on social media, like people moving back to their families, especially like the younger women. And the ones I've talked to about is like, with everything, that's like their first comment. With everything going on, I felt like I needed to be close to my family. And that's great, you know, but it's like, that's the thing, is like with everything going on, and that proves exactly what you were just saying, all the mental and emotional instability. It's like everybody's going through such a challenging time. Like people are like literally moving back to live with their fathers and mothers and stuff, you know, because like, and it's interesting, you know. And then it's good because like we realize how important family is, right? So maybe that's why it's happening, right? So,
yeah. But I mean, there is just, I think we're seeing suicide numbers on the rise. Like there's so many stuff that's just indicating that this is the real focus that we need to really be teaching kids young. Cause like, imagine how many, like you put it as the sense of like being that just one calm being in like all the chaos. And it's like, I see it as like that pillar and that foundation of strength that really other people lean towards and lean on when shit goes down and gets real. You know, I relate to that personally as well. But it's so important to really give people the opportunity to like really awaken to the, like the benefits of this. Cause like you touched on some of the physical stuff, like people don't even realize, like there's been studies that's like, that are actually, I think some of them are still ongoing, but there was like studies on obesity, right? And they were trying to, essentially all these people trying to lose weight, they're giving them the same program, the same regimen, the same workouts. And the ones who were meditating were legitimately like turning on like genetic triggers to burn fat.
Oh yeah. It's 100% connected. Don't think You don't think your brain is part of the physical body? It's a muscle, just like other muscles. You know what I mean? It's a muscle. And yeah, a lot of people are servants to their mind, though.
Ooh, I love that line. Yeah. I love that.
A lot of people are servants to their minds, right? So they can't separate it, right? So like, we know, you and I know, like, we have our physical body, right? And it is us, right? But we have us, right? And that is up to us, right? You know what I mean? So yes. It's like, but there's a separation there. And a lot of people, they can never find that separation. They can't even understand it. They can't fathom it because their mind has a grip on everything. It's in control. They're not in control, you know? And that's the problem in a society with a lot of human doings and not many human beings. Because if you're not being, you can't, you know what I mean? You're never going to get there. So,
dude, yeah. This light on light, I love it.
Spit on fire.
Spit on fire. Yo, it's really, though, the testament, though, of when you can tap into that flow. And I think that's the thing right there is I always like to teach it for like meditation students or like those going through like a spiritual awakening is like, you know, you come to recognize what you really are when you strip away all the things you're not, like all that temporary emotion, the pain. It's like when they say like, I'm angry. It's like, really, are you always mad?
I was with somebody recently and it's like, you know, but like even I asked, it was like, because they're just going, so they don't even bring it up. It's like, I'm like, finally, I'm just exhausted from listening to it. I'm like, you always this mad, right? And they're like, well, I'm not mad. I'm just telling you. I was like, you seem like you're getting mad. You're like, your voice is raising, veins in your neck are poking out. Like, that's exhausting, bro. Like, here, calm down. You know, it's like calmness is something that, oh, man, that's like, it's valuable, you know? It's like, and the benefits you get from it. But those same people, a lot of them, not all of them, you know, I hate to use extremes, but a lot of those people hate silence. Like the idea of meditating to them is like, why would I do that? You know what I mean? And they are typically the people need to slow shit down more than anybody else. But who am I to say they need to do anything? You know, maybe that's just them. And
right.
But I just know on a physical level, I used to be a lot like that. Now I'm a lot like this. And it's easier. It's an easier way to live, you know, and it's better. When you got less up here going on, you can be here more. And being here is the only place that we actually have any power, any control.
Yes. It's the only moment that actually exists. Like, I try to tell people all the time, like, there's no such thing as past. There's no such thing as future. Like, all of that stuff's just being done right now. Like, people that worry about, like, the anxieties of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen then, it's like, why don't you just focus on right now, and then you don't have to worry about it?
Yeah. Like, you're wasting the night worrying about that, you know. One of my mentors, worries negative prayer. It'll get you nowhere.
Ooh.
Love that. Yeah. Worries negative prayer. Wow. You know, and it is. And it's like, I spent a lot of my time worrying, you know, a lot of my life, childhood and stuff, you know, worrying about this grade I was going to get or this girl that I liked or this game I had to play, this wrestling match I had. So it's like, on this constant, you know, I was like constantly on edge, right? And then now that I'm older, it's like, if I don't have a problem or something there, like I got to create it. It's like, why? I used to do that. Like you said earlier, like self-sabotage, right? Yourself and like with the injury and stuff. And it's like, so I've done that, but like, I would literally, it seemed like I was creating my, you know, and we often create our own problems, but like literally I would pull shit out of thin air sometimes, like just to have something to stress about. It's like, why do you do that? It's like, no, go to the beach and just be okay with being okay. A lot of people aren't like, moment stuff's okay. They got to find something that's not okay. And when you're in a state, it's constantly like seeking the what's wrong. You're never able to be grateful for what you have now, right? Yeah. And gratitude's the healthiest human emotion of all. So more present, I say, I found it helps me focus on the good things in my life, stay positive, but also be more grateful, which also helps my physical body sleep better, relax more. Because I'm at ease, you know, and a grateful mind can be at ease. You can't, if you're angry, you're not at ease. You know, if you're jealous, you're not at ease. If you're worried, anxious, you're not at ease. Gratitude gives you ease, you know.
Yeah.
that's the perspective it builds. And I think that's one of the, again, like with the culture that we're really, a lot of us are brought up in, we've seen it evolve, I feel like, since we've all been kids, and like the exponential growth of just materialism, instant gratification. It's like there's so many things now that put you in that state of human doing, as you said, and it just takes people away from the experience of really just marinating in the present, being understanding that it's, you know, like I think so many people compare themselves against other people rather than recognizing
hepatitis. Hepatitis disease. Oh man, I've been there. I had a back hepatitis, bro. I still get it sometimes. Like if I like a chick and then I, you know, and he blows me off and I see her with another dude, like I'll get all up in my head about that shit. You know? It's like, what's he got that I don't know? Probably a Range Rover, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like probably some money. You know, let's be real. But no, it's, but you know what I mean. It's hepatitis. Sorry, go ahead. People comparing. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But, yeah. Oh no, dude, it's all good. I love the flow. It's, I mean, again, that's just how these conversations go, man. Like it's just the fact that when someone compares themselves against someone else, they fail to recognize that unique being that they are. And it's something that I found too, like, cause again, like I'm multiracial. I grew up in the suburbs, you know, like always comparing myself to my peers and shit, but never really rocking myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just being more of a typecast, you know, just trying to float around in the social circles. And instead of really, I guess you could say, I always danced my own dance to a certain extent, but I never was really comfortable with it. And I think that's something right there where it's like, even that's another level of like mental and emotional tension that just interferes with everything else.
Being comfortable with yourself. Yeah, that's huge. And that probably creates a lot of the emotional instability nowadays. Like a lot of people aren't comfortable in their own skin, comfortable being. And a lot of that has to do with society and everything that's going on out there. Like, you know, my friends that are homosexual, you know, trans, like whatever, like just the challenges that these people face, like, you know, kind of blows my mind a little bit. I was working the other night and everybody has masks on and I'm trying to take food orders, but there's music playing, there's people talking. The person talking to me has a mask over their face. So I can barely hear them, but then I can't see their lips moving. So it's like really hard to communicate. And that's been like an issue since I got back to work for the last month. I'm like, you know, I'll bring it up and stuff in conversation until two deaf girls came in the other day. Yeah. That'll change. Cause like basically I'm back there at the counter with another coworker, and these two girls are there. Like everybody else are standing there and we're like, hey, you know, how can I help you guys? She asked that. And then the one with her mask on was like, you know, basically like, and then we just looked at her like, oh, she didn't hear. So then she like repeats herself, but like a lot louder. She's like, hey, what can I get you guys? And then they start signing to each other. And I was like, oh, but like to me, you know, and like, we're definitely not supposed to remove our mask back there if we're like getting food or whatever. But like, to me, that was the only way to communicate effectively with these women. They had to see my lips moving, you know what I mean? To be able to mouth read. But that's something too, like puts it in perspective for me. I'm dealing with like this, like I said, this injury, right? And then I've had a family member, I think like two or three friends at this point over the last 5 years, all of them beat cancer, you know what I mean? And like gnarly cancer cases, like they had surgery. These people have incisions now that like are huge, all three of them, right? One has a incision here, the other one all the way down his chest. My cousin lost all her hair, you know what I mean, at one point. But like they all beat cancer, right? I'm whining about my toe. So perspective is huge. Like, yeah, this thing sucks. It's been painful, like anything I've dealt with, but perspective is huge. Same as like I'm complaining about the music and like noise and I can't hear and beat the mask. And then the deaf girls come in and I'm like, oh man, how challenging is it for them to communicate right now because of the mask and everything we're going through? Because like, you know, lip reading was like one of the biggest things. That's how they mainly communicate with people. So I was like, that just kind of like, huh.
You know, a little piece of humble pie.
yeah. You know, I mean, you said earlier, perspective, like, you know, it's, it all comes down to perspective. And just, I know we touched base on that when you were in Hawaii too. It's like perspective's huge. If you don't have the right perspective, you can't stay positive, and if you're not positive, it's hard to get a lot done, you know. The world and society and stuff's negative enough. I mean, the world's beautiful. Society can be very negative and judgmental and misleading, and so if you got to put in the extra effort to to make up for that, I guess, that loss, you know?
Yeah.
We have responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's the – it's funny how you put it, like, gratitude puts the mind at ease, puts the heart at ease, and it really does give us that sense of – I don't know. For me, I see it as, like, that sense of connectedness, because it brings us to the point where it's, like, we all are kind of intertwined by the various sufferings that we experience, and it's not like a – mine's worse than yours, yours is worse than mine, but it's just that shared commonality. But then again, there are people out there that like to kind of one up everything. But ultimately, I think that's the kind of unique experience that we're all getting the chance to witness right now with the coronavirus and the lockdown, is that it's literally, you know, everyone for the most part, minus the essential workers who probably need the most rest, you know, everyone had their whole life came to a stop. Yeah. And I find that if you didn't have that ability to kind of look within, if you didn't have that understanding of yourself already, and rather like what you're not and all the things that you know that don't bring you joy and peace, man, I'm sure this was a very, like, you know, big wave dragging you on the coral type of event for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, like when everybody was forced to kind of stay in, it made them stay in. You know, when you stay in, you get to look in, and I bet a lot of people didn't like what they were looking into, and that's what made them, you know. But I know that, like, domestic abuse and everything else, like, went up a lot during that time. Kids that used to go to school because, like, they were, you know, like, they love going to school because home's not safe and stuff like that, and then they were stuck at home. That kind of hit my heart heavy, you know, because, like, I never had to go through that. Amazing parents, you know, always had and stuff, and I felt bad for, like, the kids that are out there that, like, now can't go to school, and they're with their drunk dad who's now laid off or out of work because of that, and he's abusive or something like that. I was like, well, you know, when I heard this stuff about on the news about domestic abuse cases going up, and then, you know, that was, man, you know. So hopefully not too much of that's going on. Hopefully we can just come around from all this, you know what I mean? But you gotta address things when they come. And I love you guys. I know you've been doing that. You know, it's like,
oh yeah, dude.
You know, opportunities don't always present themselves, but you gotta be ready for them when they do come, and stand by your values and morals to the fullest extent. And, you know, I just see you guys doing that, and I love it. I appreciate it, because it's like, it's important. You know, it's important to stand by what you believe in.
I appreciate that, man.
Our Shala band is like, you guys definitely do that, and you do
the Bards of the Revolution.
great music, great vibes, so much love too, you know what I mean?
I think that's one of the coolest things to recognize, is that the ability that each of us has to really inspire and impact on one another. And I think that's something that gets lost in the sauce when we, again, like, compare and take ourselves out of our own experience, that, like, even just giving someone a smile or, like, a high five or, like, hey, that was a great job, you know, like, that can motivate somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even, like, for us, like, experiencing your act of kindness, because for those listening, Tom was the best host, put up with a full band of just ridiculous characters for a week. but it, I mean, it was one of those things where it was like, you know, we went into this unknown situation and it went beyond everyone's expectations and assumptions, because we just embraced each other as we always do, and, you know, with that love and just that openness. And when you can vibe and just resonate on that level, you find that it just brings people in your life. So I'm like, again, like, I'm super grateful that, you know, like, to have you on the show, that we got to meet and get to know each other, because a real recognizes real. And when you find that level of, like, internal maturity, as I like to see it, or, like, the fruit is ripe, you know, it really just goes to show that, like, no matter what happens in that person's life, that they're going to be a pillar of strength and a foundation of light, a source of light for really anyone and everyone that needs it. So it's like, it's super cool, man. Like, you're a healer, you know, and I think that's one of the things that I think people need to really, I think people are finally starting to get that appreciation for it more. Because I'm sure so many people at the studio, once you guys open back up, are like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so ready to get back.
Yeah, they were super stoked on the studio reopening recently. And it's like,
It is. And then, like, you're the same way, though, man. We, like, yeah, we talk deep and we get down and stuff. But if you think about, like, what we're like when we're talking to other people, is we're always having fun. You know what I mean? We're always smiling. We're always sharing that. And I think that's what the world just needs so much of, you know, not just right now, but always, just that, like, be here, be now, have fun, enjoy it. Like, we don't know what can happen. So, like, smile, man. Get deep. Get, have fun. You know, go hard or soft or whatever you want to do.
Like, it's funny that people fear that, though. Like, you're saying people fear the silence. Oh, sorry about that. But it's one of those things where you're saying people fear the silence. People fear the stillness. And it's very much the similar way with, like, getting deep on this level. But I find it, like, when you can pick someone's brain like this and, like, those nuggets of wisdom, man, like, woo.
Yeah, yeah. Light station, where they call satsang. Satsang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Getting that going every Wednesday and Sunday for you listeners over at youtube.com/fullspectrumperformers or haveahappyalways.com. A little plug real quick. Well, Dio, I think that's the fun thing is, you know, I think it was it Plato? I think it was Plato who was talking about, like, there's no greater shame for any, like, human than not recognizing, like, the potential of, like, their physical body. And I think that's one of the things that I always find really inspiring is, like, yeah, you dabbled in it, you evolved from it, but the fact is that you, like, put yourself through the physical grind to just, like, get the Zeus image, you know. Like, I think, again, it just goes to show to, like, the mental fortitude that I'm sure definitely, like, was applied and helped through the meditation. But I think it's just cool to see, man. Like, I find one thing that I've throughout this whole creative chat show is each person that deems themselves, you know, like, quote unquote, maybe creative or not, they have this ability to tap into, like, that inner strength and that inner power and drive and fortitude just to kind of push through things and, most importantly, manifest their reality. So, like, it's cool, you know, when you find other, like, self-masters like that.
Believe in seeing. It's like, you gotta, it's controversy. So I think the people that are creative, and if you have imagination, you can paint pictures and images in your head of how you want your life to be. And then that gives us the roadmap to, like, take an action and achieving it. But if you're not creative enough, if you don't have a good enough imagination, then you can't paint that picture, you know? So I feel like that's the hardest part. Like, taking the first steps where most people fall. You know, they take one, they never try to take the second one, right? So it's like, but first, you got to paint the picture. And I think that's why artists are just amazing, and, like, how they can create the masterpieces they do. It's because they see it here first. And that's just, like, anything in our lives. You want to do it physically with your body, you got to see and believe it here first. And before my first competition, like, I had an image in my head of how I wanted to see my body. And it's like, I was not going to quit until I saw it. And it did. You know, and then I went and ate a bunch of donuts and I lost it. And, like, and then I got it back again, you know.
I love that.
That's huge, man. All the artists, and then that's one of their best, I guess, attributes is, like, all the great artists, they can see it here first. And I think that's super important.
Yeah. Well, again, it just goes to show the kind of what actually is kind of getting taken away from education and just, like, our world when we start to compare and judge and really just, like, crucify ourselves is we lose that ability to really leave our future open to whatever our heart wants. And I think that's always, you know, I find it funny because, no, I always like to say, like, life doesn't give you what you want. It provides you what you need to really, like, awaken and unfold to, like, deeper levels of what's really you. And when you have these moments that arise and you can still do it with a smile, do it with grace, or you could say, it's a testament to not only, like, the strength, but the heart of the individual, that it's like, you know, they're going to put themselves where they really want to be at. They're really going to dedicate themselves. They're really going to put in the time. And ultimately, like, no matter the expression, that's something that everyone needs to learn and hear, man. Like, everybody needs to experience that type of stuff.
Yeah. Amen, brother. That's what it's not trying to control so much. And that was huge. Like, because being type A, you're like, oh, you like to control every situation.
we're not in control of any situation but the one up here. That's the only situation we can be control of. And most people let that one go, you know, right out the window, right? It's like, it doesn't even, then they're not in control of anything at that point, you know? But if you are in control, but you're a controlling person, you're trying to control everything around you, the uncontrollables, you can't control the uncontrollables. So like, don't change what is, you know? And a lot of my life, I try to change what is. Like, oh, he lied to me. It's like, he's a liar. That's what he's supposed to do. What he's a liar. You know, like I try to change that. It's like, no, don't do that. Like, don't change the inevitable. Like, it's just go with it.
And the facts.
Yeah. And that's what I say. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, you know, it's like, that's kind of like that for me at this point. It's like, man, I don't know anything. I'm in control of nothing but me. Might as well have some fun while I'm here, you know, and that's it, and add value, you know, like have fun. Personally, I try to have fun and enjoy myself as much as I can. Not every day I'm good at it. You know, some days I'm miserable shit like everybody else, or anxious as shit about something or whatever. But it's like, I try to have fun as much myself. And then on a personal, like purposeful level, I try to add value to others, you know, in any way on a daily basis. So I try to get up, have fun, help others. That's the two main goals. And when today, I got to take everything day at a time because stuff's been so crazy and just so busy, especially getting back to work. You know, I have 3-year, 5-year, 10-year goals, but it's like I found right now, especially when stuff gets really heavy, one day at a time is best for me. One day at a time. Yeah. Take it. Because like when you start planning too much, you let that heaviness kind of settle in and it seems like overbearing. Now you're incapacitated. Like you know what I mean? You can't get going because you're trying to carry so much weight. But the only weight you have to carry is today's, because right now is the only thing that matters, like we were talking about. So
true.
Yeah, day to day. When I'm feeling heavy, I just take it back to day to day. And I give myself a break when I need it. Like if I need to take, you know, stop where I'm walking, I'm in a rush and I'm hurting and I feel my heartbeat and I'm all anxious, they just stop and just close my eyes and I take 30 seconds, sit down and just sit there and listen.
So important.
Like, so important. So important. So just like check into the breath and stuff. I know. But it's,
dude, that's sorry about that. You can continue.
No, I was just gonna say it's unfortunate that like most people don't even like slightly try to get into it until stuff's so bad that it forces them to, you know what I mean? So hopefully somebody that doesn't, so hopefully somebody that's not super stressed right now will hear this and been like, oh, you know what? I've been thinking about meditating. Well, I like that. That conversation, those guys seem cool. I'm going to meditate. You know, I like knowing that people are going to try to do it before it gets too bad. Where it's like, try meditating when you're like depressed or you're having a panic attack. Good luck. Like, yeah, you've been practicing beforehand, before all that shit started, right? It's just like, we don't want to deal with our weight problem until we have diabetes. You know, it's just the American or the world way of doing stuff now. So take that from this, this talk is like, you know, even if you've slightly thought about meditating, you know, I don't care if you have problems, you don't have to have problems to meditate. It's like you can meditate now and you'll avoid more problems later, or you can wait until you get a problem. Then you can start trying to learn how to meditate. You'll be stressed and trying to do it, causing even more hardship. So,
well, I think that's one of the things too, where it's like the meditation, like I think it's kind of been revealed a little bit through this conversation. If it's not, I'm going to be a direct point for the listeners. It's like meditation is whatever you're doing that brings you to that state of just rest within, of that stillness within. Cause I know a few people that, you know, they get in that like samadhi flow state when they're running. Like, you know, the moment they start running, they're like 30, like maybe like 20 minutes in, they're just like, oh yeah, I'm like pure, just going, I'm just present. And it's just like, oh wow. Yeah. And I carry that over.
Yeah. That's funny you pointed that out. Cause when I had a lot of marathon clients, cause one referred another one, but they had also issues. Right. But that was there. Once the first one told me that, I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is your flow. This is because I had yoga at that point in my life. But before that yoga, I remember I told you it was weightlifting, because look at both of them. Okay, so deadlift 400 pounds and think about tomorrow. You know, you can't you're deadlifting 400 pounds, you're deadlifting 400 pounds. There's no other thoughts going on. And I loved it. because that's when I'd get in there, and that was my favorite time of day, because this would stop, you know, because when I was pushing it real hard, bench press, you know, like, you're under a bar. It's like, go ahead, think about what you're going to eat for dinner. You can't. You're like, you're there in the moment. You're stuck, literally. Right? But then yoga, you know, became like the next one. And how it works in yoga is like, do a super painful hip stretch, especially as a man. Do a super painful hip stretch, right? But they're all painful. But like, any hip stretch, I'll just say that. Do any hip stretch. You're laying there in so much pain. Try thinking about anything else. You can't. You gotta. You're like. The only thing you can think about is like relax, because this fucking hurts. You know. Try standing on one leg, doing a warrior three pose with prayer hands. You know, and think about something else. You'll fall on your forehead. Like,
wow. You know?
But that's why the physical just prepares us for the stillness, right? It's like prepping us for the stillness that we're getting up here. And there's physical benefits that come with working out and everything too, but there's some mental benefits. But in my own life, I was such a high strung, stress always on person that like I had to learn stuff. But I realized years and years later that that's why I got so into weightlifting. One, I was self-conscious about my body and stuff, and I wanted to like have a perfect eight pack because I wanted to attract beautiful girlfriend, you know. So I'm like, so that was motivational factors like that. But on the inside, I was doing it to quiet things down. I didn't like the chatter. And when I was pushing it in the gym, I didn't have any chatter. And now when I'm going, I don't have any chatter. You know, now when I'm meditating, I don't have any chatter. It's gone.
It's going to be mind bombs for people during this, man. Because I think that's something that most people don't even recognize. That's kind of what, as I always see it, you know, I said it earlier in terms of like life doesn't give us what we want. It always provides us what we need to recognize that stillness and truth within when we separate from all those thoughts and emotions and sensations. Right. And I think that's one of the coolest things that you just kind of revealed throughout this conversation is that each of us is always kind of innately yearning for that inner peace, whether we want to attach it to a physical thing or not. But again, that's like another huge pitch for the meditation is just, you know, having a sit down practice in which you can just be your human beingness and tap into that beingness itself and let go of the human. And then you start to transcend and level up, and then stuff just starts to click and flow and just really align in your favor of just giving you the opportunities to dance your dance. And I love how you put it earlier where it's like, I think that's really what matters for everyone, man, is just doing what makes you happy and then bringing joy and service to others. Like that's very much so my like cornerstones of my philosophy too. So like, I think that's one of the reasons why it's always resonated. But
that's why this talk is just going to blow people's minds. Cause we're just right there, bro. It's all right there.
And it's, again, it's such a, I find it as a, this is a way of like a fluid and a natural digestion for people to really take in these kind of like what you said, deep, like next level types of thoughts and, you know, pivots in terms of like your internal philosophy. But it's the most important stuff right now, man, because it's allowing people to unlock the keys to their own chains and really liberate themselves. And that's just like, oh, I just hope that's like a huge takeaway everyone gets, is just finding your own peace and finding that own inner meditative space.
All right, hello, I am in the room now. I'm back from my virtual trip to Hawaii. But a couple of notes that I had about what you're saying that stood out. One is that I have a little signpost here that I keep on my speaker. This is actually given to me by my wife to remind me that calm is a superpower. I do have a tendency to react, and I used to be very proud of being a first responder. Like, you said something, I respond. You wanted something, I give it to you, right? And so I'm like this super manifesting instant gratifying manifester, right? You say something, here it is. And then I've learned over life that the first response isn't always the most appropriate response. And although I'm so proud that I was the first one to respond, sometimes didn't afford me the opportunity to be able to think about the response. And then something started to occur over my life where I started to delay my response. Man, that was I had to fight an instinct to be able to not respond. Like I had to, it was against my nature almost. And then I started to, you know, realize, let's use football as an example, that football quarterbacks, how to measure their greatness is not the first one to release the ball. It's the one that can survey the field, hold the ball the longest in spite of getting hit and make the best decision, right? And so then I realized, oh, it's stretching that moment to the max to be able to make the best possible decision at in the most amount of time. You know, so if I have 10 seconds to make a decision, I used to go, boom, done. I did it in half second. Anybody else? Right? Like, ha, 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 proud of me. But then, right? Like, okay, that's great, right? But to be able to use that same power and make the wisest decision in that short amount of time, that's the true indication of being able to use your talent to the right and the most appropriate method. Right. And so being a first responder is great, but being the first responder with the most appropriate response is actually the key. That's the game. That's the key, is to be the
first.
And so I wanted to stress that, how important that's like a life lesson for me. That's like my personal life lesson, to be able to put this into practice, because it's not something you get one time. It's something you get one time. And then I have to constantly remind myself, because the second time I've already forgotten, oh crap, I was supposed to take my time. I'll do that next time, because it's just my innate nature. Just that's what I, you know. And so to be able to curb that, that's where the meditation and the yoga comes in, is being able to calm my thoughts and be able to steal the thoughts, steal my thoughts, so that I can observe every thought there and then pick or choose which thought I want to act upon. Right? Yeah. In a blink of an eye. Okay. And so this also begs the point, or leads me to be able to also respond to another point that you made, because I almost jumped in at that moment. I said, no, these guys are doing great. You guys are doing great on your own, right? But and I just want to be able to add some validity to your statement about one thought, only one thought can occupy a space at a time. It's just a universal law. Only any one thing can occupy a space at a time. So only this spoon can fill this space. I can't put another spoon in this space, because this spoon is taking up this space. So how can I expect to put this pen in this spoon? Because this, the spoon is, I got to remove the spoon, and now I've got a space for this pen. Now, guess what? Nothing else can take this space until this pen is then removed, and then I can fill it, right? And so if, and this is for our viewers as well as for us creatives, that if you're flooded with thoughts, the easiest way to do it, like thoughts that you don't want to be thinking. Let's just say you're flooded with thoughts. You're attempting to focus on one thing, and all these other thoughts just keep interfering. They just keep flowing in, and they just keep distracting, right? So that's where the meditative, repetitive nature comes in, of just repeat that same thought. Just keep like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. How about this? I'm doing this. How about this? I'm doing this. How about this? I'm doing this. I'm being this. I'm being this. I'm being this. So that constant, that thought just keeps taking up the space, because no other thought could be thunk while you're thinking another thought. You're absolutely right. What you're doing and your focus on your weightlifting and your weight training, no other thought can occupy that space. And when you when that thought does occupy that space, you're no longer weightlifting. Right. You're thinking about that thought. You're 3 days.
Or you're dropping it.
Right. Yeah. And so there's a lot of mastery behind those statements of what you said. That's a master in practice, right? And so that leads me to my summation, is that, are you practicing to be a master, or are you a master practicing? And with that, join us next week, Thursday at 3:33, as we creatives get together and chat about who knows what.
Amazing.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible.
In a world of all possibility. Be content.
Dope. Well, that works.